We're continuing in the story of the Baal Tefila, the prayer leader, which is the 12th story in Sipurei Maaseis, Rabbi Nachman's stories. We've had two or three shiurim already on this story. There's still a ways to go. Okay, we'll continue where we left off last week in the story of the Baal Tefila, the prayer leader. The Baal Tefila had just described to the people from the land of wealth what his connection was to the Gibor, to the powerful person, and how he suspected that this might be the Gibor that was associated with the king, whom the Baal Tefila knew very well. And he told him the story about how the king had 10 different men that were close to him, and there was a queen and a princess, and a storm broke out. And as a result of that, there was a tremendous upheaval that took place in the world. And as a result of that storm, the special yad that the king had, which is like a map in which was described every single place in the world, every single location in the world, and everything that would happen in that place, past, present, and future, this yad was lost. And also, as far as the king's men having the ability to go up to their source and renew their power, renew their strength, that also was lost. However, each one of them still retained some of their special power. Now we continue in the story. We had mentioned that this Gibor, this powerful warrior, would approach a country, and he would make them an offer. If they were ready to submit to him, he wouldn't attack them, he wouldn't harm them in any way. And if not, if they refused to submit, he would destroy them completely. So now we're told that the Gibor was approaching this country, this land of wealth, and each time he would send messengers bringing his offer to the country until he got very close and was right outside the country. The people there were very afraid, and they begged the Baal Tefila, the prayer leader, to give them advice. He said to them, we have to investigate how this Gibor conducts himself in order for me to be able to tell whether he is the Gibor of the king whom I served together with. So the Baal Tefila went ahead and went out to the Gibor. He arrived at the camp where this Gibor was, and he started speaking with one of his people, one of the guards, in order to try to investigate and see, is this the Gibor that he knows from the past? So the Baal Tefila asked this person, how do you people work? And how did you end up joining this Gibor? So this guard, who was one of the people of the Gibor's group, responded, I'll tell you exactly how it came about. In our chronicles, in our history books, is documented how there was a great storm that broke out in the world, and this storm caused a major upheaval that places where there was water originally became dry land, and places which were originally dry land, continents, became great bodies of water. And places that were wilderness became cities, and cities became wilderness. The entire world was turned upside down. And after all of that confusion, the people in the world started settling down, and they decided to designate a leader, a king. So they began to analyze who deserves to be appointed king. So they delved into this, they analyzed this, and they said, the one who is most successful in achieving the most important goal in life, That's the one who deserves to be appointed as king. So now we have to try to identify what is the most important goal in life. And there were different groups. One group said that the most important goal of man in life is respect, to achieve respect and honor. We see that that's the most important thing to people, because when a person is not treated with the proper respect, there are times that it ends up in bloodshed, because this is the thing that people look for the most. And even after a person passes away, even after a person dies, there's a concept of showing respect. Respect for the dead. And also respect for the mourners, paying respects. So we see, and people say that everything that's being done is all being done out of respect for the deceased. Even though once a person dies, money doesn't serve that person anymore, and other physical desires don't have any application to the person, and yet the respect for the deceased, that still remains. Even after a person dies, that concept still remains. So therefore, we must conclude that this concept of respect and honor, that is the ultimate goal in life. And they had all kinds of reasons and explanations to justify this. And Rabbi Nassal said, regarding all the groups that he's going to discuss now, each one of them had lists of detailed reasons as to why they chose what they felt to be the most important goal in life. And Rabbi Nassal said that in many cases, he preferred not to describe all of their reasons for fear that people listening to the story might become captivated and taken by it. So he only gives us a little bit of an inkling as to what was behind the reason that each and every one of them came up with their specific definition of what the most important goal in life is. So this first group came to the conclusion that the most important goal, the most important thing to seek in life is respect. And therefore, we have to search for the most respectable person to be our leader. And it has to be a person who chases, who does everything in his power to seek out respect, to acquire respect, to be respected. Because a person like this, who is himself a respected person, and the person is always seeking respect, and does everything he can to make it happen, he doesn't just rely on it happening by itself through natural means, but rather he does everything in his power to acquire this respect, this person is going after the true, the most important goal in life and achieving it. Because again, according to their definition, this was the most important goal. Therefore, that person deserves to be king. So they went to search for such a person and they found him. They found a group of people carrying an elderly betler. A betler means a very poor person. And he was surrounded by about 500 people, all of them tzigainers. Rabbi Nassal says in Yiddish, tzigainers means what we would say in English slang, losers. People who are far from success, schleppers. And he was also, this betler who they were carrying, was also a tzigainer, also a schlepper, a loser. And he was blind, and also couldn't stand up straight, and he was a mute. And all of these people followed him because they were all family to him. They were all family members. They were brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces and friends and children's friends, to the point where they became this a group. who followed him and carried him. And he was a person who was very particular about his respect. And he would explode into a fit of anger if he felt that anybody wasn't showing him the exact respect that he demanded, that he required. And he would always insist that people carry him around, and he would always get into fits of anger at them. So this elderly butler was obviously a person who commanded respect, great respect. He had all this respect. And he seeks out, he does everything he can to seek out respect. He's very makpid about his kovod, he's very particular. Therefore, this group chose him to be their king. And being that we know that the environment many times also plays a role in affecting the character of the people in that environment. There is a country that's mesugal, that's best suited for respect, for honor. And so too there are countries that are best suited for different qualities, different characteristics. Therefore, this group that had chosen honor and respect as their ultimate goal, they sought out a land that was best suited for this. And sure enough, they found such a country, they found such a land, and that's where they settled. Another group of people decided that that's not the most important goal in life. Respect and honor is not the most important goal in life. And they delved into this, they analyzed this, and they came to the conclusion that the most important goal in life is murder. Because we see that everything in the world comes to an end. Everything terminates eventually. Plants, trees, people, all types of life. Everything eventually comes to its demise. Therefore, we see that that's the ultimate conclusion. That's the ultimate end. Therefore, a person, a murderer, who kills and destroys people, he's obviously working at bringing things to their conclusion, to their end, to their goal. Therefore, they agreed, they came to the conclusion that this is the ultimate goal in life. The ultimate purpose and goal is murder. And they sought out a person who was a super murderer and full of anger and jealousy, because a person like that is obviously close to this goal. He's one of those who has achieved the greatest degree of success in this goal, in attaining this. And he deserves to be king. So sure enough, they went to search for such a person, and at one point, they heard a terrible scream. So they inquired, what is this scream? And they were told that this is because there was a person who just murdered his parents, his father and mother. So they all realized, they said, oh, now we found our leader. Is there someone more powerful and more full of anger and hate than a person who would kill his own father and mother? This person has obviously achieved the epitome in this field. And sure enough, he found favor in their eyes, and they accepted him as their king. And they also chose a land, a place to live that's suited for this. And they chose a place among the mountains, which is a place where murderers hang out, and that's where they settled together with their king. To pause here for a moment, people hearing this story at first might think, sounds ridiculous, silly. This is cartoons for kids. We know that in today's modern world of the 29th century, we know that there are groups of terrorists, people who have obviously chosen as their goal murder, killing, and one who does a performs a greater act of murder, who can kill more people, more civilians, men, women, children, cause more damage, create a bomb that causes more pain and anguish, he's lauded as a martyr. He's respected. That's something to yearn for. The next group analyzed this topic of trying to identify what's the most important goal in life, what's the ultimate purpose in life, and they came to the conclusion that it's a person who has the greatest amount of food, sustenance, and doesn't use the same regular, ordinary foods that other people eat, but rather eats refined, in a refined manner, such as dairy products, in order that his mind should be as physical as possible, that person is worthy of being king. At first they searched and they didn't immediately find such a person who was apart from regular people, ordinary people, and the type of food that he ate. And therefore they chose temporarily, until they would find the person who they really felt was qualified, they chose a wealthy person who had a tremendous amount of food, until they would find a person who fit their description exactly, a person who was not nurtured from regular foods, but rather a much finer type of eating. So temporarily they made this wealthy person as their king, until they would succeed in finding the person who they thought was really appropriate for this. Then this wealthy person would abdicate the throne, he'd give up the kingdom, and they would accept the other one as king. And they also chose a land that was best suited for this, and they went and settled there. The fourth group felt that beauty is the ultimate purpose and goal in life. What people really want to achieve is beauty, to be beautiful, men, women especially. That's what's admired the most, that's what's sought after. The women seek beauty and the men seek women's beauty. Because obviously the most important accomplishment in the world is perpetuating mankind, bringing more children into the world. And this requires marriages, which generally, usually are based on this concept of seeking beauty. And because of the fact that it's beauty that inspires people, most people, to get married and to unite, therefore they felt that this is what brings the world to its ultimate purpose. And therefore, the most beautiful person is the one who deserves to be crowned as king. And sure enough, they chose a woman, the most beautiful woman in the world that they found, and designated her to rule over the over them. And they also sought out a land that was appropriate to this, and they went and settled there. At this point, we have to pause. I have to apologize that usually we would continue the shiur for about another 30, 35 minutes. Due to circumstances beyond my control, I have to be elsewhere now, and we'll have to pause the shiur right here. I look forward to continuing next week, Amit Hashem, at the same time. We'll pick up where we left off.